Hey there, Patty Dominguez with episode 113. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. Today, I am doing a solo show, and I'm going to be covering a topic that comes up often enough to where it gets my ears perked, and then I'm like, you know what? I need to talk this out because I know there's more than one person, two people, three people that are coming up to me with the same issue, and so it's time to address it. And it is talking about valuing your worth, boundaries with your clients. So those two topics are kind of sticky and they get complicated, and I can share with you how it has personally impacted me. At one of the mavens in Prolific Cafe had a similar situation where there was an opportunity for exposure and then really not knowing how to have that tough conversation around, is this paid? Is this unpaid? What kind of engagement is this? Where can we go with this, etc.? And for whatever reason, we get caught up in our own thinking that, oh, I don't want to lose this. So there's a lot of lessons here in a lot of different ways. And as somebody that has personally gone through this myself, I want to impart and share what's worked, what hasn't, so that you can not go through what transpired for me, because it wasn't fun. So I know it'll be valuable for you. Okay, so if you haven't joined Prolific Women Entrepreneurs Facebook group, I invite you to join it. You just go to prolificwe.com, Prolific We, which stands for Women Entrepreneurs, and I'll see you over there, okay? And with that, let's get on with the show. Hey there, I'm Patty Dominguez. You're about to discover what it means to position your brand and your business to stand out. This show explores the stories of small business owners just like you who are bringing their message out to the world and impacting their tribe. So if you want to take your business to a category of one status, then hang with me, because this podcast shares everything you need to know about how to be more prolific with your brand so that you can have more profits. All right, all right, all right. Thank you for being here. This is going to be a fun episode because I'm going to be recalling some painful situations. So I may or may not go into ugly cry. I'm not really going to go into ugly cry, but I will be sharing with you this very important topic about boundaries, valuing self-worth. I don't know, ladies. And is this only a situation where the ladies are going through it? I don't want to make a generalized statement, but I see it in our space. You know, it's really interesting because I was at a conference or participating in a conference, let me caveat, because I didn't physically go. I did a virtual version. And what's really interesting is there was somebody that got on stage and he made a very bold disclaimer, setting boundaries up so clearly, and it was unabashedly real that I was like, oh my God, good for you. You know what I mean? Like, I really admired the claiming your space type of feel. And then I was like, I wonder if a woman would have done that, how that would have played out. But I don't know, you know, like this has just come up. And then of course, as I mentioned in the introduction, just these topics of boundaries keep coming up. So it really inspired me to create this episode and share with you some of the things that I've learned. Now, the first thing is this is stuff where in corporate we used to call the unwritten rules, meaning nobody gives you a manual for this part of growing your business where you have clarity on, oh, these are my boundaries and this is how I value my worth. You know, you just kind of fall into this space. And I always say entrepreneurship has been just the most beautiful experience around personal growth because of it is the reason why I have grown in ways that I just did not have the opportunity to do so when I was in corporate. And so this topic of valuing your worth around boundaries with clients and stuff is such an important topic. And when I talk about the unwritten rules, is it's things again that nobody teaches you, but you have to learn through trial and error, or in this case, I'm sharing it with you on this episode 113. So you can take it with you and be like, eh, I don't need to go through all the roller coaster ride. I got the tools right here. So the first one is, again, just really recognizing when you get into an agreement, whether it's a coaching agreement or you have a done for you type of service, is being very specific around the scope of your work. What is it that you are going to provide? And what are the claims or the assumptions that you are addressing right out of the gate? And by the assumptions, I mean, here are the assumptions of me going into this engagement, right? And really spelling it out. And so that can go into, of course, the specifics around what it is that you're going to do, right? So you are really talking about the accountabilities, what I'm going to do, what you are going to do as a client, the scope of the project or the work, or if it's a coaching engagement, the amount of calls or the assessment period or what's going to happen and all of that, right? The other side of it is, of course, the payment terms, how you expect to get paid, what that payment is going to be. Are there late charges? Because then there's times when maybe the credit card expired, maybe the person got in over their head in terms of the fees that they were, or this course or that course that they joined, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I can't pay my bill. So payment terms are really important, and really establishing the parameters around late fees if they apply, legal agreement. So one of the things that was really important for me when I was doing more of like a done for you type of service is the legal agreement side of it. Is you definitely, I am not a lawyer, nor do I play one on TV, but I can say that having somebody look at the agreement, your terms, as part of the project that you're working on is absolutely essential, because they will pick up, at least a good lawyer is going to pick up the loopholes. And I can tell you, I found myself in a situation back in 2018 that caught me totally off guard by surprise, because this was a classic case of me not having a tightly defined scope. I let it kind of go a little bit loose. And by that I meant I gave in my haste to want to give, because I am a giver. I'm a giver. It's just who I am. I was over giving, right? And so I wasn't valuing my work. And as a result of that, it fell into scope creep. I was doing things that wasn't a part of the agreement. And then you go into the emotions of like, oh, but I got to get it done. And then you feel some kind of way because that person is not paying you for the time that you're doing that goes above and beyond the agreement. But at the same time, ask yourself, did you have the conversation around the unwritten rules, right? Around what you're available for and what you're not available for. And then the written rules around what is the tight scope of the project or the agreement, the payment terms, the legal side of it, what I'm going to do, what you're going to do. And I have found one of the most helpful things to have is what I used to call, and it's so interesting because I did this in corporate, and yet for whatever reason, because I'm such a dingling, I didn't think to have it in my own thing. And that is what I used to call a table stakes meeting. And a table stakes meeting is really awesome because the first meeting that you have really helps to establish how you are going to work, how you are choosing to work on that particular client with that particular engagement. And that means like when you're available, how clients can contact you, what your response time will be, what's included in what you are going to produce for them, or what the deliverables are going to be. Those are the table stakes. How you like to receive information, right? How your client likes to receive information. Because I can tell you, in the absence of that table stakes meeting or having that discussion, you have not painted the proper boundaries, and then people are going to go and make their own interpretations around when you are available. So for example, I am not a morning person. I don't apologize for not being a morning person. It's just not how I roll. And as a result, I do not take any calls before a specific time, noon my time, because I have my morning period, which is my high leverage time. It's my time to when I work out and I do my meditation, I do my journaling, I get myself ready, I read, I have some time, quality time where I'm just hanging out with my husband, the cup of coffee, like that's a really important time for me. And so the boundary there is like, what's a non-negotiable? My high leverage time in the morning is a non-negotiable. In other words, I'm not willing to compromise that time because it really sets my day up in the right way. So my clients know I just don't take any coaching calls before noon. That's just how it is, do you know? And that's what I ask for you, because alternatively, when I first started, I promise you, if I had a client who was in Japan, let's say, and they were like, can you do a call at 8? And for me, it would be 1 a.m. I'd be like, sure, I'll do it. I am not kidding. I was so ridiculous. No boundaries. And as a result, I had adrenal fatigue and I burnt out and it was absolutely horrendous. So back to you. How does this apply to you? Have you had that conversation with your clients around when you are available? how clients can contact you, because I promise you there's going to be those clients that send you a Voxer and they send you a WhatsApp and then a Viber and then they go on Facebook and the Messenger. And I do have a little bit of work to do in that respect, but basically I really don't pick up the phone to call anybody. My primary platforms are, I do my calls on Zoom. If you want to get a hold of me, it's on Voxer. May do a little bit of Facebook and the Messenger. But aside from that, or yes, and of course email. But aside from that, like there's just no way. Like I'm just not going to pick up the phone, right? I'm not a phone person. So anyway, so these are the examples of how you make yourself available and really checking in with yourself. And do your clients know that and what your response time will be? So in my community, because there's a good handful of people in there, if somebody posts something in the private chat, which is a great feature of Prolific Cafe, I promise and commit to get back to you in a 24 to 48 hour period. So the boundaries are there, right? And so this is what's really important. And I bring it back to you, are those boundaries established for you in your business? Because I promise you, people will unwillingly or willingly push the boundaries with you if you let them. And that's going to cause a lot of stress potentially, or it's just going to wreak havoc on your system and it's just not worth it. The other thing is really being comfortable with saying no, saying what you're not available for. I feel that in the past, I have been very much a people pleaser, and I most definitely have let go of that, where if I don't want to do something, I don't do it. And I think this has been a sticky point of contention sometimes, because I feel bad, or I used to feel bad, I should say. So let me correct that. I used to feel bad about it, but I don't anymore, because this is just an example of claiming your boundaries, and you don't have to say yes, and it is okay to say no. So that's another thing. Back to you, are you saying no when you really do mean no? And I really always feel like if it's light, if it feels light, then it's right. If it feels heavy, it's a no. And so that's something else to check in with yourself about as well. And really, don't feel bad or don't feel afraid or don't feel a loss if you are not having a good client engagement and really saying, I don't want to participate with this client because they're being really difficult, or there's just no synergy there, or they've been pushing the boundaries. If you have that fear of loss in the way of like, oh, the money or what have you, it's just a weird tension and it's not going to lead to anything conducive, as opposed to saying, yeah, this is not working for me. I'm just not that into you kind of deal, and walking away and really understanding, of course, there could be consequences there for you to clean up, but just really making sure to cross your T's and dot the I's when those situations arise. So if you have that type of an exit strategy when you don't have that type of rapport with the client where it's just not a good fit. So just having those frank discussions, I've been in that space too, where I'm not kidding. It was just like the, he's just not that into you claim. That's exactly what happened with me. I'm like, this client's just not that into me and I'm not into them and it's just not working. So really being transparent, having honest conversations, walking away, and in a very amiable, amicable way, you can save that type of thing so it doesn't have to end in a nasty way. So just being really clear around your boundaries, around what you want to accept. And really, just to wrap this topic up, I really want you to be cognizant of what you require in the relationships you have with your clients and really honoring what you need out of it. So don't acquiesce at any given time because you're people pleasing or you have a fear of saying no or you have a fear of loss. I promise you, you're not going to feel good about it. And I promise you, you're going to feel some kind of way about working with that client that is not going to lead to anything positive in the long term. And really, I don't want to scare anybody with this, but you know that the majority of your clients are going to be really awesome because you really do attract who you are. So if you're a good person, you're going to attract those type of people too. And so, of course, there's always going to be the rare potential for the pain in the ass client. But having the boundaries clear from the get-go, from the beginning, will be the game changer for you so that you can let them know what your non-negotiables are. And so that's really a matter of protecting your time and energy and your mental health so that you have the energy for the clients, all the clients on your roster that you have in place, so that you're not sacrificing that whole energy side of things. So I hope this was helpful to you. As always, let me know how I can support. Connect with me on socials, okay? Like on Instagram, let me know what you thought about this episode. And also consider, this is the official invite, joining the Prolific Women Entrepreneurs Facebook group. I'm going to be putting up some lessons in there and some concepts on things you can do to position your business to profit even more. And so with that, thank you so much for checking out this episode, and we'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much for checking out the Positioning to Profit podcast. If you haven't already done so, please make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. And also, it would mean the world to me if you would take a quick moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or your favorite podcast player. It really helps to get the word out about the podcast and, of course, the featured guests. And lastly, please make sure to connect with me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm on all of them. And use hashtag positioning to profit so that I can search you out and connect that way too. All right. Thanks so much. See you next time.